Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Getting serious here about terminology now, the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And that's going on in the world today. The persecution of the church is an awesome fact that is happening in different parts of the world. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Hasn't that already happened? Obviously it hasn't. There's still a segment somewhere, and there are still places that as yet have not heard the gospel of Christ. I'd like to just share a title with you from the 24th chapter of Matthew, and I'm just calling it End Time Overcomers. Folks, we're closer to the end than we've ever been. You say, when is it going to be? We're one day closer. Jesus is coming soon. I grew up as a child hearing this in church, hearing pastors and evangelists say, He's coming soon. We used to sing a song, He's coming soon, He's coming soon. With joy we'll welcome His returning. It may be evening, night, or noon, but we know that He's coming soon. The Bible said there would be those that are saying what I've heard some people say. I've even heard some ministers say, well, I've believed this all my life and it hasn't happened. But yet there were prophecies in the Old Testament. It took a while because it happens in God's time, not our time. It happens when God says so, but He is returning. And when things were so dark, thank God there was a babe born in Bethlehem's manger. And Satan hasn't heard the last of that one yet. We are living in perilous times. Times that are difficult to deal with. I've had businessmen say, it's not business as usual. It's not the simple 1-2-3s of business. And in pastoring, I can well assure you, the most trying things that I think I've faced in almost 50 years of being pastor of this church. We live in perilous times. People are unpredictable. You think you know things, you think you know people, and you really don't. Time proves that. We're living in the last days. Here's the fact. Either we will make our choice to overcome everything and everyone that is not in line with the Word of God, or things will overcome us. It's overcome or be overcome. Now, it's as up to date, more up to date than the morning newspapers, because they're very inaccurate often, especially in the news media in this day and hour. But what we read in this 24th chapter of Matthew, it is just, I mean, it's exactly where we are today in the world, in the church. First of all, he said, Don't be deceived. Many will be deceived. Four times that word deceive is used in one way or another in just the 24th chapter of Matthew. I've seen people deceived that I thought could never be deceived. Folks, we've got to stay with the Word of God. We have ministers trying to rewrite the Word of God and coming up with strange doctrines and doctrines of devils. I mean, it is an interesting thing. Things that the Bible, I know there's things that we'll have to find out throughout eternity, but when the Bible says something very definitely, that's just it. It's not subject to debate. There is a heaven. There is a hell. Jesus was and is the Son of the living God. But he said, don't be deceived by things or by people or by circumstances. You say, well, I'd never be deceived. Every time I see any footage on World War II, the preparation for that, and you see that in as you go to Israel, you're reminded. How in the world could an entire nation called Germany be totally deceived, even to the little guys marching in goose step, saying, Heil Hitler? And you see the determination. And of course, I know Germany today is embarrassed over that. I'm not trying to bring that up, but there was a time when the Germans and the Japanese, we could be speaking German and Japanese today. Now, most of this audience doesn't know what I'm talking about. My father went to World War II, and I'll never forget that morning when Dad left to go down and take the College Avenue bus downtown. And my father was inducted. And boy, I thought the world was coming to an end. But here's the thing that we really need to pray and believe God, that I'll not be deceived by this hour. I will not be deceived by the grace of God. And that's one reason we need one another. Kind of like the salvation script. It keeps the witness on track, and it keeps the one that they're witnessing to on track. It just keeps the train on the track. We need one another to help us. And I believe that the last few years I have appreciated and depended upon strong believers, spirit-filled believers, time after time. I thought I'd faced it all, and then I faced some things that I needed some wisdom and some balance in. And you talk to people that have their head on straight, their heart right. We need one another. I couldn't tell you how many times I've helped others, but how many times others have helped me. We need each other. We need the fellowship of people that love us for the right reasons. They don't just love us because of money, or they love us because of influence or whatever, but they love us for the right reasons. So the Bible said in the last days, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't let anyone or anything deceive you, and stay with the truth. The second thing that I see in these verses is don't be war weary. You know, this last thing that happened overseas, the last thing that happened, a lot of people, in fact, a lot of people that were very close in Bible prophecy thought we were just days away. And we could have been. Maybe God just gave us a little insight. We don't know the incident that's going to trigger craziness as you've never seen craziness in this world. But you know, we've heard of wars so much. These things must come to pass. The Bible said these things must come to pass. This is part of the unfolding of God's end time information here. So when we see the disasters that we've seen and the wars and the rumors of wars on every hand, crazy things happening, disasters, earthquakes, pestilence, tsunamis, these things happening, they must come to pass. Because every event could be it, or it's one event closer to the ending of all things. Don't be war weary. We hear of war so much that when you hear it in the news, you just kind of, we need to just pray over our nation every day. We're the most vulnerable, in the most vulnerable position that I've seen America in a long time. And I ask the question, what would we fight for? We fight for the wrong side when we go to fight, it seems. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for the president and all that are in office. That's just a personal feeling, but I believe I'm right on. As you read Proverbs, you'll find that over and over and over again. Don't be war weary. Don't let it wear you out. Realize that there will be wars and rumors of wars until our Lord returns. Now there's something else here that I think wraps up many of the things we're saying, and that's in verse 6. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Don't be troubled. Almost everyone in this audience has something you can be troubled about. Someone you can be troubled about. Some event you can be troubled about. I mean, if you just look for trouble, there is trouble in the world today. But it said, don't see that you be not troubled. Let not your heart be troubled, John 14 tells us. Don't let your heart be troubled. Yeah, there's things that happen to all of us. But I, personally, I'll tell you, I've had to just keep my faith right on this. Don't let your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. There's a switch on the inside that says let or let not. And I think we need, as we read the Word of God, how many times do you see in the Psalms and all through the Word of God, God has made provision to keep you in times of trouble. God has. And when trouble comes, trouble, a troubled spirit is not from God. I want to say that again. A troubled spirit is not of God. Well, what do you do about it then? You speak to that in the name of Jesus and say, I know where you came from. I know what this is all about. Jesus did not come to trouble us. He came to bless us and help us and strengthen us. See that you be not troubled. It slips up on you. You may wake in the middle of the night. It may touch your life in different ways at different times. But just purpose in your heart. I will not let my heart be troubled. I'll recognize that when trouble comes, that God is my source. God is my source. And I refuse to let my heart be troubled. I'm saying something here that's very important. If there's any trouble in your life, if there's any trouble in your path, if there's anything that just keeps reoccurring, keep speaking the Word of God over your life. Keep speaking the Word of God over your family. Keep speaking the Word of God over your finances. He didn't say it would be without a battle. Life is a fight, but it's a faith fight. And Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Yeah, there's fights, and yes, it is a fight, oft times. But we face it God's way, and we have God's results. So we heard the Word saying, don't be deceived. Don't be war weary. Don't be troubled in your spirit. Fourthly, we see here in verse 10, the Word of God warns us, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. I'm telling you, as a pastor, I can tell you, the greatest problem in the kingdom of God today is not drugs and liquor and sexual immorality. The greatest problem in the kingdom of God today is people that are easily offended. And it doesn't take much to set it off. And when it comes, it'll stay and it'll spend the winter and it'll spend the summer. I say it like this, and I haven't heard anyone else say it. When I say it, I always see lights turn on in people's eyes. The spirit of offense is the legal drug of believers. Because we always feel justified in the spirit of offense. What do you mean I'm offended? Now, I made a little joke so the medicine goes down. The word offended literally means a green bent trap. It's a trap that you trap animals by. You put some camouflage over it and a green big green twig, strong limb of some type, and it's a trap for animals. And the spirit of offense is a trap. First of all, there's offense, which opens the door. Dr. Lester Sumrall used to say something, and I heard him say it a number of times. I refuse human hurt in the name of Jesus. It comes, it knocks on the door. It's real. We're human. We're not perfect. We're perfect in Jesus, but we're still growing in grace. But the spirit of offense comes and it opens the door. We don't realize it's not just a temporary house guest. It comes to move in. First of all, there's offense we see in this 10th verse, which opens the door for hatred. And when hatred comes, hatred opens the door to betray. I mean, it's so plain, it's so simple. You don't need Greek or Hebrew to understand this. That's why the Word of God says when something comes that really gives you a jolt, you need to just sit down in a chair, a rocking chair, or get in your prayer room or whatever, and just pray in the Spirit about that. Put your hand on the Word of God and say, I realize an agent from hell is trying to invade my life, and I'm not going to permit it. So the spirit of offense comes, which opens the door for hatred, which opens the door for betrayal. You know, in all the years I've pastored, it's amazing. Some folks that have received the most help, the most blessing. I mean, that church has been nothing but an outstanding blessing in their life. Then all of a sudden things turn and nothing is right. All I can say is this. Don't be offended. Jesus warns us that this would be an end time spirit. And it's in churches, it's in the ministry, it's all over the world. Don't be offended. What's wrong? Well, you know, just refuse it. Just write it down and read that verse and God will make it real to your heart. There's another interesting insight. Don't become hardened towards sin. Sin is still no win. Growing up as a child, I was taught that sin was sin. And I knew what sin was. Now we see so much of it, even in the church today, that there's a relaxing of morals. There's a relaxing of telling the truth. There's a relaxing of just doing what is right. The snake still bites. The snake of sin still bites. Iniquity shall abound, the Bible said. It's on every hand. I mean, we watch things on television you would have never watched years ago. Maybe months ago. And I just say it because I believe it so firmly. Most of television is a throwaway. It's an absolute waste of your time. I'm not saying that sports are wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm simply saying there are advertisements because what's on the Super Bowl in a family time, quote, is risque. It's not godly. It's ungodly. And so we just turn that segment out. We've come a long way from I Love Lucy, haven't we? We've come a long way from the simplicity of television a few years ago. Folks, we still have to judge ourselves. And I believe that God puts in the heart of every believer a sensitivity button in your spirit. And you know what you should watch and you know what you shouldn't watch. The children in our families are watching also. You say, boy, you're really plain and simple this morning. Yes, we need to get back to some of that. Because see what happens according to verse 10. In fact, it warns us there. And then shall many be offended. Now, let's go to verse 12 it is. And because iniquity shall abound, that's because sin shall be on every hand, the love of many shall wax cold. Sin will destroy your sensitivity. You used to be able to cry about certain things. Your heart was tender. Your heart was easily touched. Now it's just, man, you know, that's just life, man. Don't be hardened toward sin. And I'm going to say it one more time. The snake still bites. It still destroys families and marriages and young people. The snake still bites. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit within you on what you do and what you hear and what you see. Because when you become sin-hardened, you lose your love. The love of many shall wax cold. God wants us to have a tender heart. There's one thing that God's helped me through the years. I've just purposed, I'm not going to let anything destroy a tender heart. Amen? Let your heart be tender toward God. Attending church and hearing the word will soften your heart. This also is a truth that I feel God has just impressed my heart with. Hearing the truth. I'm glad you're here this morning. Thank God. That's a major first step for all of us. But hearing the word, I must give you a disclaimer here, will either soften your heart or harden your heart. And you can come to the place to where no matter what is said or what happens, that you're not in tune with that. Don't lose your love. Love never fails. Love covers a multitude of sin. Doesn't mean that love is a sinner, but it means that love keeps on loving. And the Word of God, the things of God, the Word. There were people that I've known years ago, their heart was very tender toward the Bible. But that's not true today. Hearing the Word, even the... You say, well, the Word's not just preached in every church. Well, I'll agree with you. But even where the Word is preached as pure and as strong as it can be preached, you still have to respond by saying yes to the Word. And it will either soften your heart or it will harden your heart. And hard-heartedness is a difficult situation to deal with. You know, God wants us to grow in love. Can you say amen? Don't lose your love and become hardened. Don't become gospel hardened. Also, the Word of God tells us, don't quit. Verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end. We're not sprinting today. This is a long distance run. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Don't quit. I said, don't quit. Don't quit. Revelation 21:7 said, he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. But Revelation 21:7 said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. The stakes are high, believers. The stakes are high. There's a reason God doesn't want us to lose our love. There's a reason that God doesn't want our hearts to become hardened towards sin. There's a reason God does not want us to be troubled and war-weary and deceived. Because he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Do you realize we're in this world but a short period of time? We're going to spend eternity somewhere. The stakes are high. And I'm not talking about heaven or hell, but you know, I'd like to think I have some rewards over there. And the Word of God's very plain, shall inherit all things. Everything God has is good. Everything Satan has is bad. Everything God has is wonderful. It's great. It's awesome. And everything the devil has, you don't want that. Because the thief has come but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. If that's the only way you can watch it, well, watch it by screen. But you're here this morning, and unless you put your fingers in both ears, you can't turn me off. You can turn off the TV and go get a cup of coffee if you don't like what the man is teaching or what he's preaching. But I'm here to tell you, we're here but for a short period of time. I don't think I've ever been as sensitive to eternity as I am at this point. We're just a step away. Could be today. Young people are going out. Not just older people, but young people. And I like what missionary evangelist Wayne Meyer said, live every day with eternity in view. Treat every day as a gift from God. These soul winners, they're discovering that every day is an opportunity for them to win souls. And you know, an overcomer, are you listening to me? An overcomer is someone who overcomes something that was hard for them to overcome. I know that's a simple version of it, but an overcomer is someone, a believer, who has overcome something or someone that was not easy to overcome. But they did it, and they came through. Peter overcame denying Jesus. Don't you know that took a lot of the grace of God to get Peter turned back around? But then when the grace of God was released full force in his life, 3,000 souls come out of nowhere. And he becomes a soul winner. Yes. Don't stop overcoming. Don't stop overcoming. Don't stop overcoming. Purpose in your heart. We will overcome. Jesus is coming soon. We will overcome. There's one other thing that is so important here, and that's in verse 14 of this 24th chapter of Matthew's gospel. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Boy, that one verse is full of truth. I was in Canada a few years ago, and we were driving from speaking one night. We had to drive about 200 miles. I forget where we were going. We were out in those Canadian prairies, and I was in a van in the front seat, and I remember I woke up and I looked out in the field, and all you could see is bright lights. For a moment, I thought, was wondering if I was hallucinating or what in the world. And I said, what in the world is that? And they said, it's harvest time. And the word's out that storms are coming. And if they're going to reap the grain, if they're going to reap the harvest, they've got to do it. But here's what happens. Vacations are set aside. Things that they planned on doing are set aside. There were five of the biggest tractors I'd ever seen in my life. And what they do, they come over to your field and they harvest your field. Then they go to their field and you go with them to harvest their field. Men sleep on those tractors. Their wives drive their trucks out and bring their food to them while one drives while the other one dozes just a little bit. It's harvest time, and if you don't get the harvest in, it's going to be lost. A church, I want to thank God for a church called Calvary Cathedral International that has caught the vision that it's harvest time. And if we don't reap the harvest, what if God's depending on us for X number of souls and we do nothing? And I've said this so many times, but I think we need to understand what this is all about. Well, all these big numbers. What about these big numbers? Well, every one of those numbers is true. But here's the thing. Are they all saved? Only God knows. But thousands of people will not be able to stand in that last day and say, no one ever told me about Jesus. No one ever told me. Well, I believe that's manipulation. I think you're forcing yourself on something, you know. Well, how many souls are you winning, bud? Well, that's not my anointing. Win the lost at any cost. How deep can we go? I believe in discipling, and we are active in that. And Brother Andrew, he was just so thrilled as we were able to minister that in Colorado Springs the other day, because he's a tremendous soul winner, but and a tremendous person that believes in discipling people. But here's the thing. How deep can we personally go? How deep can we go without winning somebody to Jesus? There's some people that have spent their life hunting heavy revelation, and they've never won a soul to Jesus. Something's out of balance there. We've missed the point. Oh, I love new truth, and I love seeing things in a different way. But God's calling us to remember, don't stop being a harvester in the end time. Learn a lesson from the farmers that when the storms are coming or when the season is there, you've worked hard to get that crop. But if you don't get it in, you're going to lose it. All around us in our neighborhoods where we work, where we buy whatever we buy, there are precious, ever-living, never-dying souls that are going into eternity. And what's happening to these people, and what I see happening in our church in a strong way, we realize this is really why I'm in this world. What is my purpose for existence? To tell about Jesus. To share Jesus. It's not hard. And as messed up as things are in our nation today, people are seeking for answers. They really are seeking for answers. And we're in deeper than we realize we're in. God only knows if China owns us completely today. We're living in a strange hour. I'm not negative. Don't get me wrong. Here's the thing about it. If we do what God called us to do, and this is very plain what I'm giving you this morning. I mean, there can be no contradiction from an honest mind or heart that what's here in Matthew 24 is exactly what Jesus said, do or don't do in the end time. If we do what we can do, God will take care of the rest. If we do what's right, God will take care of the rest. And we've got to keep first things first. And that's why I just encourage this entire church. It's not one-upmanship around here. And some are able to more quickly win souls than others, it seems. But here's the thing. We're a team together. You say, I'm too old to do that. You may be, but God will still give you opportunities. But you're on the team. As you tithe and as you give and as you lift up the hands of a New Testament church, you're on the team too, and God recognizes that. There's no condemnation in what we're talking about. It's just an opportunity, an unlimited opportunity. And when boys and girls can go out and do it, teenagers do it that were bashful, that would find it hard to hold an extended conversation with a stranger, then God is showing us it's the end time. And we need to speak and remember this. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. It shall be preached. No matter what we think about, it shall be preached. In all the world. For a witness. Didn't say they would all get saved, but it's to be preached as a witness unto all nations. Wednesday night we had two men from Burma. And we met these men. They're from Burma. And they said, we don't always understand everything language-wise, but we feel the Spirit here. And our children love children's church. And we're coming. And they realize that, you know, we just presume everyone knows what we're talking about. And only God, by the Holy Spirit, can communicate that as it should be. But there was something about those men, as they shook our hands and said, thank you for a place where the Holy Spirit is welcome. And the language barrier had their Bible. And they said, we read from our Bible. But as I talked to those two men I came to the platform, I thought, isn't it something? We witness win and bring them in. But God also knows how to bring people here. And we want to show them God's love. Be sensitive to the people you meet that are coming in. Because God sends people where He believes they can get help. Boy, that touched my heart. Boy, that touched my heart. There's nothing that touches my heart today and in the last few months and years as honest, sincere people who really are hungering and thirsting after God. Folks, Jesus is coming soon. This thing's going to go up the wall like a window shade one of these days. As the lightning comes from one place to another, so shall the coming of the Lord be. Please remember what we used to sing and we used to say so often in churches. Jesus is coming soon. He could come today. I said, Jesus could. You say, I don't believe that. Well, He'll come when He wants to. He's not going to be governed by whether you believe that or not. But what I'm sharing with you from my heart, this church is not just fun and games. Although I love church and I enjoy coming to church, I love God's people. But this is part of God's plan. The first message I ever preached in the little humble post office building, it was a mess at the time I preached it, was right after the Alaska earthquake in 1964, where Jesus said, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And just as those farmers learn that we help one another and we go through the fields and we harvest before the storm, God has given this church the privilege of harvesting ever living, never dying souls. And I just want to encourage us that we don't turn it off. Amen. We don't turn it off, that we're sensitive to being part of the end time. Hallelujah. Praise be unto the Lord. I was blessed to attend the last camp meeting that was in the Tulsa Convention Center when Dr. Kennedy Hagin was alive at that point before he went on to be with the Lord. He knew I was there and asked if we could visit a while before the service. So under the platform we visited. About 15, 20 minutes went by. I said, Dr. Hagin, you need to be out there and minister the word. He said, I'll go when I want to. He said, God wants us to talk. And we did. He came out in that service and the Spirit of God came on him. He came all the way across that audience up to where I was sitting. It was in a slant row for the ministers. And spoke these words, learn to listen to Him. And learn to flow with the Spirit. And the glory and the power will be yours. And you will be able to help those who need help. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying.